So the information deficit and belief change model. We think that we're all intelligent people, and the only reason that you have this bad opinion is because you haven't been approached with the right evidence. And once I approach you and show you the right evidence, you'll change your opinion. Fat chance. You know, that's not how it works, unfortunately. Recognizing manipulation techniques that are being used on us. AstroTurfing. You know what a grassroots thing is? Well, an AstroTurf movement is where you're hearing from 360 million bots in Russia saying, this is a grassroots movement. So that's a fake grassroots movement. It's an AstroTurfing movement. Strategies for that we have for dealing with others, and strategies for our own decisions. Okay, first, the biology of decision-making. Oh, there's a reason you feel that way. Unconscious bias, our worldview. There's a new book out that I'm going to discuss in just a second called A Prius or Pickup. And it says, so much of what we are depends, the most important thing is our worldview. And of course, it's all those things that we know. Who raised us, where we were brought up, who socialized us during those formative years, who our friends were. My Italian grandfather used to always say, show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. You know, the people we choose to hang out reflect our values, and it's very important. Our individual experience, it could be something as easy as that the fact when you were 3 years old, you got bitten by a dog. And so you're scared of dogs the rest of your life. And the rest of us say, well, that's silly. You didn't get bitten when you were 3 years old. So we form opinions based upon our own personal experiences. Watching a friend fall out of a tree means we might never, ever want to climb a tree because we saw that happen. And of course, we are hardwired to prefer those who look like us. You know, it's very normal for us to want to be around people. And that's one of the types of biases we're going to discuss. By the way, at the end of the slide deck, I've got all the sources and all the articles that I reviewed to do this. But here is fun, the biology of decision making. Now, that frontal lobe, right? That's your decision making, your reasoning, where you do your mathematics and everything. Where you see the green thing there, that's your lizard brain, right? It's associated with your emotion, addiction, and your mood. It's much more primitive in development. But that's what keeps you safe. That lizard brain kicks into action. Let me give you an example. Okay, you're sitting along the right, the first baseline, right? And here comes a line drive, foul ball, right towards your head, right? So that front part of your brain guy, oh my dear, there's a sphere heading my direction. It seems to have a certain amount of speed and mass. I wonder if meanwhile, Greeny there kicks in and says, duck! And that's what you do. When green kicks in, you do what green says to do. Your lizard brain controls it. It will not surprise you to know, and we'll discuss that, all advertising is not geared for the front. It's geared for the lizard brain. Because emotion. There's a reason why Sam Elliott sells Ram Tough Trucks. And not somebody with a corps de ballet. It's got to be rammed because you're going to be tough just like Sam Elliott. If you buy that, it appeals to passion, it appeals to love, it appeals to sex, it appeals to your fear. That's what it is. All advertising appears to those four things. They're all made to inspire that sort of thing. All right. Now, we have tools for making decisions. Perception, how we perceive reality. It really is interesting that we do perceive the world very, very differently. Everybody expects, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I think I have it a little later, but I'm going to cut you the chase. There's an experiment with a substance called androstenone, and it smells to most people like wonderful chocolate chip cookies. But based upon the chemistry, the bodily chemistry of a minority of people, maybe 15%, it smells like urine. It smells horrible. And so they would do these things, and all these other people would say, you know, oh my gosh, this smells like chocolate. Oh, this smells like wonderful baking and everything. And the people say, smells like piss. What are you talking about? And they could not believe that somebody would say it, but it really is just the way we are built. So our worlds are very different. And when you talk to people, you know that I'm right because you're saying, what are you seeing? I see this completely differently. Our attitude, what type of people make us scared or guarded, right? Behavior, what people will we be naturally friendly toward? What is our thing? If we're a very intellectual person, we kind of hang out with people who know, you know, the subjects that we're interested in. Whether that's social, art, history, you know, movies, whatever it is, we want to be around people that we like. And what attributes draw you to people. Certainly, you know, we have a certain big part of our brain that says, initially, I like the way that person looks. You know, I hope they have these other attributes that I like too. But the first is zoing. You know, we like the way that person looks. If we're lucky, we can find somebody without having to go through the zoing first and say, I really like that person. I've developed a real I'm drawn to that person. Well, Hugh, sir, listening skills. One of the most important things that we need to learn from our psychotherapy colleagues is to listen to people more. You will never change anybody's opinion if you don't listen to their side of the story. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. That also applies to our clients. To get a good relationship with a client, you need to listen to that client's story all the way through and not cut them off. Even though you might know in the first 5 minutes exactly what you need to do, exactly what procedure, what documents you need to listen all the way through. Because remember, what's the goal of any good client interview? Reasonable expectations, a reasonable expectation of what I can and can't do for you and what you're going to pay me, what's your part of the bargain. But if they say, oh, I know what to do, okay, blah, 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 and then you ask the questions, okay, what do you think I can do for you, and it's unreasonable, then you say, I can't do that. Well, unless you've listened all the way through, you don't gain any confidence from that client because you didn't listen to them. Remember, the big psychological tenet is this: healing begins